Coming up on Monday, I think you've probably heard about it. A solar eclipse is going to occur, and I know a number of people that are traveling to different parts of the United States to be in an optimal viewing location, but Pittsburgh is a place where you'll be able to view the solar eclipse, provided you do so safely and correctly. There'll be some darkness in the sky, I think. And we have Glenn Walsh here. I asked Glenn some time ago, he and I were talking, it must have been 6 months ago or so.
Well, about a year ago, actually.
A year, yeah. Wow. To talk about the solar eclipse. Glenn knows so much about astronomy. And tell me what's going to be happening exactly.
Okay, well, what an eclipse is when at certain times, there's an 18-year and 11-day cycle whenever the eclipses occur. And the eclipse occurs when the moon comes, well, actually, this is a solar eclipse I'm talking about. It comes when the moon comes between the Earth and the Sun. Now, the moon orbits about approximately once a month anyway, but sometimes it's lower below the moon, Sun, or sometimes it's above the Sun. It's only once every once in a great while when it actually comes right in the middle and it will actually block the sunlight on at least part of the Earth.
Which is amazing. So while this happens every 18 months or so, more or less, it's rare that the effect is going to be as phenomenal as it will be on Monday, right?
Actually, it's a coincidence that we live at the time we do, because the moon happens to be a certain distance from the Earth, and that happens to be coincidentally makes the moon the same size as the Sun. The Sun is so far much further, and the Sun is, it looks in the sky like it's approximately the same size as the moon. And that's coincidental, because back when the dinosaurs were here, the moon was closer to the Earth, so it would have completely blocked out the Sun. Whereas Now we can see the corona whenever there's a total eclipse of the Sun.
Now, the corona is...
That's the upper atmosphere of the Sun, which is safe to look at. That's the only time part of the Sun is safe to look at. In fact, the only time it's safe to look at directly at the Sun is during a total solar eclipse, when you're in with the path of totality, and only when, and a small amount of time when it is in total phase.
And that is not in Pittsburgh.
That's not in Pittsburgh this time. That's right.
There are some cities. I think Charleston is a city.
You have listeners in Charleston, South Carolina, and they will get a total solar eclipse. And I had the times for that also. In Charleston, South Carolina, the partial eclipse begins at 1:16:59 in the afternoon on Monday. The maximum eclipse will be at 2:47 p.m. and the totality will last in Charleston for 1:38, and the entire eclipse ends at 4:10:02 p.m.
Wow! Now, here in the Pittsburgh area, we'll give the times in a moment in case you want to jot them down, but first of all, the conditions won't be good for looking directly eclipse.
It's never good. You shouldn't look at the Sun, period. But any time even a small amount of the Sun is visible, you never look at it. With a total solar eclipse, the entire regular part of the Sun is blocked, and only the corona can be seen. That's safe to look at, but other than the corona, if any other part of the Sun is visible, it's dangerous to your eyes because the Sun is so strong.
What is the best way to observe it?
Okay, there are several ways. First of all, there were several television networks are going to be broadcasting it, and of course NASA will have an internet feed. And I'm going to be running an event at the Mount Lebanon Public Library in South Pittsburgh, and we're going to have me all showing the NASA live feed of the total eclipse inside. And then if the weather conditions are good, and they look good right now, we'll probably have a telescope outside to show the partial eclipse.
Now, I'm kind of hoping, but I really don't know. I've been saving all my questions about the solar eclipse for today and for you. Will it actually get dark?
Well, probably not that much here in Pittsburgh. It will in Charleston. Charleston will get very dark if we're doing the total phase. but only during the total phase. But here in the partial phase, Pittsburgh will see 81% of the sun blocked by the moon. So 81% still, because there's still a large part of the portion of the sun still visible. I mean, it'll just like be like the if it clouded clouds, a whole bunch of clouds.
I was going to say there probably are cloudy. I don't know if these things are measured, but there are probably days when there are thunderstorms or very thick clouds where the percentage is
higher than
around that, or maybe even comparable.
Yes, exactly.
Very interesting. Do you happen to know? This question is coming completely out of left field, but do animals notice these things?
Well. Oh yes, they do, and that's one of the there's several citizen science projects that are going to be going on during the total phase of the eclipse, and that's one thing they're going to be watching. They're going to be watching the behavior of animals. Some animals are confused; they start going into the nighttime behaviors, and of course, it only lasts for like for instance, this eclipse during the total phase. The maximum total phase in Illinois and Kentucky will last maximum 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Now, this is, as I said, once again, in Charleston, it's only going to, the total phase only lasts 1 minute and 38 seconds. But so it won't be much time. But during that time period, there is some animal behaviors that are will be observed during citizen science experiments.
Glenn Walsh is here, and we've had Glenn on before to talk about astronomical phenomena. That's a mouthful. Before now, in Pittsburgh, when does the eclipse begin? This is Monday.
Coming Monday, right? The eclipse begins at 1:10 in the afternoon on Monday, though.
So that's when in the beginning is when the moon begins to
start blocking out the sun. It just creeps into the
first little overlap,
exactly.
And then it sort of marches across the sun.
The maximum will be at 2:35 p.m. for Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's slower than I thought.
Yes.
So it's 1:10 to
the maximum is 2:35.
2:35.
And that's when the total of 81% of the sun will be blocked by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts creeping out, creeping away from the sun, and the actual end of the eclipse in Pittsburgh is 3:55 p.m.
Okay, so it's sort of symmetric. You have an hour and 20 minutes from 1:10 to the peak, if you will, and then an hour and 20 minutes back out as the moon crosses the sky. And if you are looking up at the moon from Pittsburgh, will it appear from left to right?
Actually, from Pittsburgh, it'll appear the sun will be appearing above the moon.
Okay, so
I have a photograph I can show you. I can't show you the audience, but
oh, okay, so it's really. Oh, that makes sense. So it's really going to be coming from below to above.
Well, it'll be going east. It'll go right to the left, but the top portion will be of the sun will always be visible.
I see. So that so from right to left, but what you'll see is kind of a frown
above
from the sun.
Yes.
And now, I keep saying, but you'll see way better to watch this on any of the feeds. People have special glasses. Now, you can't use ordinary sunglasses.
No. The only safe type of glasses, what they call solar eclipse glasses, they're composed of aluminized mylar, and they're optical-grade mylar. You can't use any mylar. It has to be optical-grade mylar, specially created for this solar eclipse glasses.
Now, mylar... when not, is very translucent. It's a high degree of translucency.
I think
of mylar as opaque, actually.
And this is optical grade. And the important thing is, with these solar eclipse glasses, the only thing you can see is the sun. Everything else is dark. You can't. In fact, the best way to check it. In fact, you should check it every time if you have solar eclipse glasses. Before every use, check it by simply putting them on and look at a light bulb. If you can see any light through it, then those are bad, and you need to discard them.
Interesting.
Because you got to make sure there's no holes, pinholes, separation from the frame, anything, any little holes at all.
Now, speaking of pinholes, I remember as a little boy some kind of pinhole
device. Yeah, we have
device. Okay, so here's one where you put a box over your head. Oh, that's how these work. Can you explain it? I remember now.
Yes, okay. You create a solar pinhole viewing box. You put a white sheet of paper on inside the box, at one end of the box.
That's like a screen.
Exactly. At the end of the box, you cut a little hole, and then you put aluminum over the hole and put a tiny pinhole in that aluminum. Then standing with your back to the sun, you allow the sunlight to shine through that pinhole, and it shines onto the white piece of paper. Now, don't expect a very bright or large image. I mean, it's a pinhole. It doesn't magnify anything. So it won't be very big and won't be very bright, but it can. But with the pinhole, we'll show you at least a small image of the eclipse.
And the foil helps to capture.
Well, the aluminum foil focus. Is simply to make sure no other light gets in.
I see.
So you only want the light coming in that one pinhole only.
I see. So that makes and does the size.
And let me also say, you never look through the pinhole. Mm. You stand with your back to the sun, allow the sun's light to shine through the pinhole and project a tiny image of the sun onto the white piece of paper.
So this box, basically you've made a little camera or projector. You point.
Yeah, it's a pinhole camera is what they call it. Yes.
Yeah, the pinhole is behind your head and above it. And you're in the box where you are safe.
Right.
And
you're back to the sun. That's what you say.
Yeah. And it really is. When you say a pinhole, you mean
a pinhole,
not
very small,
not a pencil jabbed through the box,
exactly.
But literally a pin.
Right.
I might just have to do this. That's a great idea.
Yes.
So this one is unique because of how much the moon is going to be eclipsing the sun.
Well, this one's unique because it crosses the entire country. That's why it's such a big deal. And actually, there will be actually, we're going to get another total solar eclipse 7 years from now on April 8th, 2024. And this is going to come closer to Pittsburgh this time. It's going to be covering eastern Ohio and Erie County, Pennsylvania.
Wow. When was the last big one in Pittsburgh?
Okay. Well, we had one in 1991, which when I worked here at Beale Planetarium, we covered that one. And there's some other ones. Now, there was what they call an annular eclipse. That's also another type of partial eclipse, where that's when the moon is further away from the Earth than normal. And so it doesn't cover up the entire sun. You can see portions of the sun visible. That was also visible in eastern Ohio and Erie County, Pennsylvania. In fact, a friend of mine and I, we drove up to Erie County to see that back in 1994.
That had to be something.
Oh, yes.
To see it. Was it over the lake?
Yes, over the lake.
Yeah, I would think that would be pretty amazing. This is a tough question, but when did people begin observing eclipses?
In ancient times, they noticed eclipses. I mean, the astronomers back then they were considered astrologers or priests. They watched the sky very closely and they noticed these eclipses and then they actually were able to calculate the pattern of eclipses even back then, and so they were able to predict eclipses fairly closely.
Interesting. It's an exciting time. What got you interested in astronomy?
I guess when I was young, that's when the space program was just starting, and I was very interested in the space program. And then from there, a logical leap to astronomy. And I came to Beale Planetarium when I was 10 years old on my birthday. So, and that's what got me started.
It's really something. And there'll be I know there's a viewing party here at the Children's Museum. I don't know the details on it yet, but I think just about anywhere you go, I think people are going to know if you're at work, you may be at school, although I know some school districts have actually planned to begin school on Tuesday rather than Monday because they don't want to be in session when kids might be able to see the eclipse with their families. But I think you'll know that it's going on.
Yes, most people know by now,
I think. But I like talking about the science behind it a bit. And you've really helped clarify how you can make a pinhole camera, why you should not look at things. I suspect there are eclipse glasses being sold, but
yeah, most of them are out by now.
Yeah, my sense tells me though that some people, I hope not, but some people may be claiming glasses have those features and they don't. So I think Glenn's rule of thumb, if you're wearing glasses and can see any normal light, look at a bare light bulb directly. If you can see that light through those glasses, they are not eclipse glasses.
Good. Exactly. That's the best way to. And also, the American Astronomical Society has a website that tells the number of vendors they approve for selling eclipse glasses. So you could check their website also.
That's good to know. And I imagine you can't drive with eclipse glasses.
No, you'd be blind. Yes.
Although some people think that's probably what I do. Glenn, you mentioned their website. You also have a great website.
If you go to planetarium.cc, www.planetarium.cc, at the top of the page, there's a link to tips for safe viewing, as well as a link to the event we're going to have at the Mount Lebanon Public Library on Monday.
And when does that start on Monday?
1 o'clock. One to four is our event.
Excellent. Beautiful library if you have time to go out and visit, and you'll get a chance to meet some astronomers or people that are enthusiastic about astronomy, as you may be and as Glenn is. Anything else you want to mention about?
I just want to emphasize that website is www.planetarium.cc. It's not .com, but .cc. And so once again, at the top of that page, you'll see a link to tips for safe viewing and a link to our event on Monday at the Mount Lebanon Library.
Excellent. Well, our thanks to Glenn Walsh for being here to give us some tips about safe viewing and also some background and perspective on the solar eclipse, which will be happening on Monday. And if you're one of our Charleston, South Carolina listeners at WOHM, we'd love to hear your perspective on things if you want to let us know. Maybe there's a lot of excitement in Charleston right now.
Yeah, and if you could email us any photographs you take of it.
Yeah.
If you take any photographs during the total phase, that's the only time it's safe to take photographs of it.
I have a question I just thought of is, what would happen if I set up a camera to point at the sky or took my phone and sort of set up a video, but I wouldn't look at it. I probably wouldn't get much, would I?
I'm not sure. I mean, it depends on what the camera, how good the camera is. Whether the specifications of the camera, you'd have to check with your with the camera instructions of the camera.
Yeah, I wonder. It could potentially.
You probably should check with a photography expert. I'm not a photography expert.
Yeah, as I think about it, you probably wouldn't get much, and you'd probably potentially damage the camera too.
Yeah, the only time it's safe is during the total phase when the moon completely blocks out the sun. That's the only time it's safe. All the regular light from the sun, when the moon completely blocks out all the regular light from the sun, except for that little corona, that's the only safe time to look at the sun, and it'll be the only safe time, I think, to take photographs also.
Yeah, and that's not in Pittsburgh this
that's
time
not,
around,
not in
too.
Pittsburgh. It's in Charleston.
Yeah. Well, very good. And Glenn, thank you for being here today. And it's planetarium.cc is how you can get more information, planetarium.cc, 1 o'clock Mount Lebanon Public Library is where the program Glenn mentioned will be held on Monday.